Let us pray. Listening God, we know that you are constantly speaking to us through music, scripture, nature, and relationships. You make yourself known again and again. So in this moment, we are quieting the noise in our heads. We are closing our eyes, and we are leaning in. We are listening. Speak to us through the chaos. Speak to us as only you can. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. Listen for the word of God. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on evil and on good, and he sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel lesson that Rebecca just shared and the Old Testament reading that I will share with you in a few minutes are not the selected scripture readings for the day from the lectionary. I chose to deviate from the lectionary today because in this country, over the last 4 months, hate has been on the rise. And hate has been spreading to our neighbors, to Canada, to Mexico, and various parts of the world. And so this morning, I've chosen to read from the book of Jonah, because in the book of Jonah, God has a lot to say about how we are to deal with hate as faithful Christians. Now, Angie talked about Jonah and getting a second chance at following God's direction and instructions to go to Nineveh. And so now listen as I share with you a reading from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. Listen to what Jonah did with that second chance. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and then he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Now, that's a half-hearted message if there ever was one. In Hebrew, the message he shared was all of 5 words, never mentioning God. Now listen to what God could do even with that half-hearted message through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone great and small put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, nor herd or flock, shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord. Jonah's story is a story full of insights for us to consider as we strive to live out our faithful Christian lives. So sometime this week, I would recommend to you that you take time to find a quiet place in your home, pull out your Bible, and read Jonah's story for yourself. It's quite a short story. Read it and see what piece of that story God might choose to use to speak to each of you on a personal basis. This morning, with our time together, I want to focus on just one piece of the story. I want to focus on the piece of the story that speaks to Jonah's disdain for the Ninevite people. If you take time to read the biblical commentaries, at least some of them, they're quick to tell us that Israel considered the people living at Nineveh to be their enemy. And when they talk about Jonah and his attitude toward those people, they say Jonah hated them. He hated them so fiercely that he did not want to go there. He didn't want God's grace, God's mercy, or God's forgiveness to be given to them. Now, hate is a very strong word, but it's also a very strong emotion that God gives each of us. If you've ever experienced having a colonoscopy, you know what I'm talking about. Life seems to give us some things that we just hate. And some of us have people on that list, people like the terrorists that took down the World Trade Center towers in New York and killed 3,000 people, or Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber, or the man who killed all those children at Sandy Hook Elementary School, or the man who did the same thing at that Amish school in Pennsylvania. But when we think about those people, we don't really know them. What we know is the single act of violence that each of them perpetrated, an act of violence that we should rightly hate, and that hate carries over to them because they were the ones that initiated that violence. This made me wonder just why it was Jonah hated those Ninevite people. Did he hate them simply because they were Gentiles and not part of his worshiping community, never really knowing them? Did he hate them because he saw them do some act of violence again, not really knowing them. Or maybe he grew up in a family where his parents told him very early on in his life that the people living in Nineveh were the enemy of Israel, and that's all he ever heard. And so he never really came in contact with any of them, not really knowing them. I wondered when I thought about that then, well, why the biblical commentaries never really mention how the Ninevite people felt about Jonah. When you read the story, they certainly don't seem like they consider him an enemy. In those days, you would have thought if he was the enemy, they would have killed him before he even entered the city. And when he entered the city, it seemed like they almost welcomed him. I mean, they were listening to his message, not only listening to it, but responding to it. And by the end of the story, you have to wonder if they were almost thanking him for sharing the message so they could avoid destruction and open themselves to receive God's mercy. So when I think about this story today and what it might say to us, I think God's calling us to do the same thing he called Jonah to do. I think he's calling us to tear down the walls that we've built up between ourselves and the people we hate, to tear them down and to see them as God sees them. Now, as I tell you that, it seems an unrealistic task in some ways, because the people that I mentioned earlier, we'd never really come in contact with. Thank goodness for that, because if we did, we'd probably receive the gift of eternal life much sooner than God intends for us to receive it. And we'd never really have a chance to do the task that God would put before us, to actually see them. But I don't think we get to walk away from this piece of the story quite that easily. I think we have to change the word hate to dislike people we dislike. And when we do that, well, suddenly, whoa, that list is a completely different list. That list is typically a lot longer. That list includes people that we can encounter in life any day. That list includes people that we don't know, people that we know very well, people that know so well that we've known them for a long time, and some people that we don't know that we just encounter for brief moments in time. I think I should probably share some examples so you can be thinking about who's actually on your do not like list. Let me share a few with you. You're driving down the road to work one day, and suddenly the driver in the lane aside of you darts over in front of you, causing you to put on your brakes very hard to avoid hitting him as he cuts in front of you. You don't like that driver very much. Or you're in a grocery store, and you're in the express checkout line. And of course, the person who's checking out has more items than are permitted to use that line. That doesn't bother you too much. I mean, that happens on occasion. But then you hear that person say to the cashier, "Oh, I forgot an item. I really need it. Wait a second while I go back and grab it." Now suddenly you and most of the people in that line don't really like that person very much. Or maybe it's somebody you work with, somebody who kind of just rubs you the wrong way. You're hard-pressed to explain exactly why you have that feeling, but you have it just the same and you keep your distance from them. Oh, you work with them when you have to. You keep your conversation to a minimum. You do the work and get the task done, and then you keep them at a distance. Or maybe it's a neighbor who said something one time or did something one time that you really didn't like, and you made up your mind right then and there that you were not going to speak to that person or interact with that person ever again if you could help it. Or maybe it's just somebody in your wider family, somebody who faithfully comes to Thanksgiving dinner every year, but you avoid them like the plague because you know if you engage them in conversation, invariably it will lead to some topic or issue that you really don't agree on, and you don't want to have that kind of conversation with that person, especially on Thanksgiving Day. It's these kinds of people that I think God is calling us to tear down our walls, whether they're on our hate list or on our do not like list, to tear down those walls and to see them as God sees them. Now here, I'm reminded of a video that one of the Stephen ministers sent to the rest of the Stephen ministry group actually several months ago now. It was a short video of a speech a man gave. He was competing in an international speaking contest, and he won the contest. And the title of his speech was, "I see something in you, but I don't know what it is. I see something in you, but I don't know what it is." When I hear the title of that speech, it reminds me that God's task that God calls us to is one of doing a search, a diligent search, to find that speck of goodness in each person that we hate or each person that we dislike. Because remember, God created us all. And as the story and creation story in Genesis tells us, what God created was good, very good, which means that the worst person among us, the worst person among us has some speck of goodness in them, some speck of goodness that God loves. And by the same token, that means that even the best person among us has some speck of evil in them, some speck of evil that God calls them to repent of. So we have this task before us, and it's not an easy task. And if we learn anything at all from Jonah and Jonah's story, we should learn that we cannot run from this task. Jonah tried to do that, and God would not accept that response from him. and he won't accept that response from us either. I think the task can become a bit easier if we remember some words from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., some words that he shared in a sermon with his congregation many years ago now, when his congregation found themselves in the midst of trying to tear down the walls of segregation all around them, while people all around them were earnestly trying to keep those walls in place. Dr. King told his congregation, "You don't have to like those people. You don't have to like those people, but you do have to love them." So I think we might as well grit our teeth and take up the task and do the search, a diligent search, to find that speck of goodness in each person that we encounter. And who knows what God will do with our efforts. You heard that Jonah gave a very half-hearted effort to God. 5 simple Hebrew words, never mentioning God's name to the Ninevite people. And still, God was able to take that effort and have the entire city repent. So who knows what God will do with our efforts? We may just happen to find a new friend somewhere in that process. Or in the very least, some of us may enjoy Thanksgiving dinner a little bit better this year. Amen and amen.